Welcome, everyone.
This is Trav. I am the Blazing Defender, and with me is my co-hosts,
Big Sam.
Big Sam.
Big Sam's in the house.
Big motherfucking Sam.
This is the Meatheads on Movies show.
Meatheads on Movies.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff in Hollywood that probably needs our attention. There's a lot of stuff in Hollywood going on.
And they didn't quit. That's for damn sure. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a long time incoming Meatheads on Movies. I am your host, the Blazing Defender, and with me is Big Motherfucking Sam. What's going on, everybody? What's going on, Big Sam?
Man, Blazing Defender, how's it going, man? I've been on some other shows, but this has been a minute, man.
The one that kind of started it, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done anything in a long time as far, you know, movie related. And to be honest, to be totally honest, we haven't had a whole lot to go to the movies in review.
No, there hasn't been a ton. And it was funny because I saw this meme where I think it's the spoiled kid from Willy Wonka. He's like, I only get one Marvel movie this year. I had three last year. So it shows the three last year. It might have been the weakest Marvel year for me last year.
Right.
You had Captain Marvel, which I didn't really care for. Spider-Man Far From Home, which was all right, you know. And then Endgame, which was good but disappointing, which we've covered, you know, a million times.
Sure.
So it's been a minute, man, but I think this is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah. I tell you, I was lukewarm on it. And, you know, you were like, oh, my God, dude, you know, I loved it. You know, I think you said an 8.5?
8.8,
which is fucking extremely high for you. And I was like, yeah, you know, and then as I got to thinking about it, I told you some of the things that I really didn't like about it. And we're going to get into that. But there was a lot to like too. And then you and I were kind of talking beforehand. This is, a lot of people may not know this, but this is, this movie wraps up DC's entire, like, DC animated movie universe.
Yep. Like DC AMU.
Yeah. So 15 or 16 movies.
Right.
Ties up. I mean, it's pretty insane to you know, to say the least, to think about, you know, them doing that in this movie. And when I got to thinking about that, I was like, fuck, man, they really kind of did.
Yeah. 6 years worth of movies.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Where does one start with the DC AMU? That's a great question.
Yeah, you actually have two choices. You can start at the Flashpoint, which is the last movie of kind of their old universe that kickstarts this new universe. So you can watch that and you can call that the start. The official start is the next movie because it's the first movie of the new universe, which is Justice League War, which came out in 2014. So kind of your choice. You want to start with the Flashpoint and see what caused this, or do you want to start fresh in this new universe, which would be Justice League War? So one or the other, your call.
So, and I also want to say that in Flashpoint, for me, Flashpoint Paradox and Justice League War, the first one, are arguably to me the best movies out of the entire DCA.
They're way up there, you know, and that's what I love so much about DC's animated universe is there's movies that don't hit me as much as one or the other. You know, like I think it was the very last one before this one, Wonder Woman Bloodlines. Like, it was cool. But yeah, I'm not a huge Wonder Woman fan. It's cool when she does her thing and all that. So it's not going to hit me as hard as some of the others. But there hasn't been one movie in this DC animated movie universe that I would say is not good or below maybe even a 7.
Right. Yeah, they're all kind of right there on top of each other, to be honest. Casey says he's the Suicide Squad ones are far and away the best. I'm not going to go that far.
I'm not going to go all the way with Casey, but I will say that one of the Suicide Squad movies, and which one it is, because there's been a couple, escapes me, and then there was actually a Batman movie that was basically a Suicide Squad movie, were kind of the Suicide Squad movies I wish we had got
right
in the actual movie theaters and not that piece of junk that we did get. They were really good.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. There were some that were subpar than others, but man, they were all, like you said, really, really strong. I mean, it's a strong collection.
It would be hard for me to think of one I would have rated below, like maybe a 7 or so. That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's really high. That's really high.
And what's been cool too is they kind of interspersed other movies that aren't part of this DC universe, like Batman versus Ninja Turtles, Superman Red Sun. So you've got some stuff during this time frame that doesn't tie directly into that. So that's cool too, which have been very good movies.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I think you make a good point about, you know, I kind of wish the theatrical versions of the DCU had kind of went the way that the animated universe did. And we'll get into that after we get into Apocalypse War a little more, because you know, with me being a big Snyder fan and you as well, you know, I think his, especially this movie, like for guys that want the Snyder cut like me and you, this may be the closest thing that we get to that, because this movie especially really kind of went along what looks like to be what Zach had planned for the Justice League movies, with maybe Batman and Superman's roles being kind of reversed. Which is interesting too. It's an interesting take on it. But it, with this movie, it's really bleak and dark. And it really starts out that way.
Yeah. So I've got, one of the things I underlined is the horror aspect of this movie. Like, that was one of the big things. And like you said, right off the bat, so the very first scene, you're looking at Zatanna and Constantine in bed together. And she leans over to Constantine and she says, "I love you. I just wanted to tell you before," that he kind of interrupts her. And that's foreshadowing for what's later going to happen. I mean, we're going spoilers right here. This isn't spoiler free or anything, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, and if you haven't seen this, yeah, I'm glad you said that, Sam. If you haven't seen this already, and I know some of you haven't, we are going to dive into it. So watch it, come back, rewatch this, or if you don't mind being spoiled, feel free to stay in. But go ahead, Sam.
Okay, so it's foreshadowing for, you later see when, Doomsday, Darkseid has Doomsday parademon hybrids they call paradooms. Really cool. As far as I know, they never did that in the comics.
That was great, yes.
Yeah. So they invade, and you see this scene where Zatanna just gets rushed by 5 or 6 of them, and they start chomping on her. She goes to put her hand out to Constantine like she wants him to help her, and he turns, cuts tail, and runs. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, damn, Constantine, like, he can be a bitch sometimes, but he always steps up and does the right thing, so you kind of don't know. Well, you later find out that, you know, she cast a spell to make that happen. It was a plan her and Batman had the whole time.
Right, right.
And so her saying, "I wanted to tell you, I love you, I just wanted to tell you this," before he cuts her off, she's foreshadowing, trying to tell him what's coming. So you get this, like, kind of horror, just, oh, God, foreboding right off the bat.
Right.
And also a really nice twist that you didn't really necessarily see coming. I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming at all. And the whole time I'm like, and so one of the things that you need to kind of understand if you're going to watch this movie is some characters that you're really used to seeing in a certain way, they're not going to behave the way that you're used to seeing them. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of one of the things you kind of have to get with, or you're really not going to enjoy this. But that, I was like, what the fuck is that about? Like, that motherfucker just really ran. And then when you, when we catch up with Constantine later, you know, he's drinking or whatever, and, you know, Superman kind of like gives him some shit, you know, like, well, you know, at least they didn't run. What I think it was Superman. Was it Superman or was it someone else? Or was it Raven? It was,
Superman was in there, but Raven's the one that's Raven. Talking.
Okay. And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, and I'm like, okay, it's going to be Constantine's going to kind of redeem himself for fucking Balin. And then when you get that twist at the end, and plus Batman was involved too, which may have been Batman's plan. You know what I mean?
They basically tell you that.
It's very something very Batmanish, right? Like, yeah, he's always three steps ahead of everybody. I was just kind of like, really? And I told you, even though I thought the first half hour, it was fine, but it ended so strong for me. Mm-hmm. Like, in that twist that they set up in the very beginning of the movie was one of the reasons that it ended so strong for me.
And I love the fact that, so amongst the fact that this movie tied up 15, 16 movies and 6 years worth of stuff, it still played into other kind of DC mythos. And that Batman twist to me read just like Mark Waid's run at Justice League, where Batman has a contingency plan for each one of the Justice League members going bad. He you know, this isn't a Justice League member going bad, but he set into motion his contingency plan for if Darkseid's able to invade us this way, this is what we need to have in place as a last case resort. And I just thought that rang so true to that Mark Waid run, which is also one of my favorite DC animated movies.
Tower of Babel.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel, exactly, which isn't part of this, but rings true. That I was like, man, that's so cool because it feels so on the nose for Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Batman is kind of mitigated to a lesser role in this movie because he's, you know, one of Darkseid's minions now, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know if, and I'm sure this is what you mean, I don't know if I'd say lesser role, but more of a background role, because he's pulling all the strings.
Sure.
But you don't see he's behind the scenes, you know, kind of man behind the curtain.
Some of the, I don't want to call it hate, but some of the people that have kind of, you know, thrown some shit at the movie, you know, it doesn't play at all like the Darkseid War did in the comics. Which, you know, I really didn't expect it to. I'd never expect these animated movies to go along exactly. Like, The Dark Knight Returns is maybe one of the most accurate adaptions of a comic book.
And probably my favorite animated movie.
Yeah, it's definitely one and two for me.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, I really wish they had have incorporated some of the stuff from the Darkseid War, like Grail. Like, I thought Grail was one of the best introductions of a villain that we'd seen in a long time. I mean, you had Fabox art, you had Geoff Johns writing. I mean, there was a lot to love about Darkseid War and Justice League. If you've never read that, guys, I've sang its praises many, many a time on the show, on the Blazing Defender show. It's a fantastic read, a really, really great Justice League story. Everybody kind of gets their moment in the sun. I don't know how many issues it ran, maybe eight or nine. Issue run. It was a long run. It had ramifications through the DCU still to this day, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people were saying that. Well, but I seen, like you, in bringing that point out, I seen so many other, like with Damian and Batman, you know what I mean? The Son of Batman movie, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That, you know, which was pretty accurate to the comic book, to be honest. They took some liberties here and there, but you know, that, you know, with that, dynamic, and I'll go ahead and say this, you know, that I told Sam this when we first talked about it. That, for me, the voice acting is always one of the strong points of these DC animated movies. And Damian and a couple others just really, like, the voice acting for me was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, especially him and Raven having that moment at the end, you know, that really should have been a moment that kind of hit home harder. And it just, man, every time that dude spoke, I fucking couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Damian's voice was terrible. Raven's was so-so. Everyone else, I think, was okay for me.
Constantine was great.
Yeah, and Darkseid stole it. I mean, yeah, his Darkseid voice, was Tony awesome. Todd. And let me point this out. I actually wrote this down. If you have the ability to watch this in a sound system, do so, because half of Tony Todd's voice through Darkseid comes through his bass, and so you lose a little bit of it without a subwoofer. It's still awesome. I watch it on both of my with and without, but with the sound system, it's so, you know, just more powerful unnerving. But so here's my thing with Damian's voice being terrible, which it is, there's no doubt. I kind of was like, okay, at least if they had to fuck up anyone, it was him. Because he's kind of a bitch to me anyways.
Right.
So I was like, he sounds like a whiny-ass fucking angsty, entitled teenager, which is kind of like what he is, you know? Yeah. So it could have definitely been much better, but thankfully didn't totally take me out of it. Raven's voice isn't very good either. I think everybody else, they nailed it pretty well.
Nailed it, yeah. Flash, which didn't have a huge part till the end.
Boy, was that part awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – I mean, in the whole time, I'm kind of like – I really didn't know how they were going to end this, to be honest. Like, I didn't know and some people thought the ending was rushed, too, for some of the – from the people that had some negative things to say about the movie. They thought the ending was rushed. And I really didn't. Like, I thought it was perfect. All.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about the fact that, so when we were talking about the horror aspect, there's several things I could talk about with it, but when you find that the generator is Flash and he's running and he's dilapidated, he's just broke down, his skin's kind of hanging off, you know.
The cosmic treadmill.
Yeah, the cosmic treadmill. And what's funny is I didn't put it together until I watched the second time. That was also Batman's plan. Not good Batman, bad Batman. He tells Darkseid, your, you know, whatever it was, universe engine was damaged in the attack. And Darkseid says, your attack. He's like, yeah, you're right. But my plan is working and my power source is working. Batman stuck Flash up there. And I was like, that's messed up. Like, talk about horror. Batman did that to the Flash. And yes. I was like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Batman was for halfway through, I'm trying to figure this out, right? I'm like, because, you know, they're talking about if anybody can break Darkseid's conditioning, it's Batman, you know? Mm-hmm. Agreed. But then, like, as the movie's going on, I'm like, dude, I don't know. I mean, like, Batman seems pretty fucking full on with this shit. You know,
what about the shit he says to Damian?
Yeah, and I was just about to say, yeah, that moment between them two, I was like, talk about what a disappointment he was. And I was like, damn, maybe Batman doesn't break out of this, you know?
Yeah, he was like, I didn't try to have you. Your mother drugged me, tricked me, goaded me into raising you.
Right.
You're a disappointment. I was like, ooh, wow. And then, so then I was so happy. They make Batman and Damian square off. Okay, let's do this. And I'm like, please, to God, do not make this a close fight.
Yeah.
You know, don't make Damian somehow win. That's going to take away from it. And Batman beat that ass.
Whooped the shit out of him.
And then when he takes that sword, shanks him through the quad.
Yeah.
And Damian says, ah, you know, I said, oh, shit. Like, it was everything I wanted. Solely because, not because I don't like Damian or anything like that, but solely because that's true to Batman is a hand-to-hand combatant. Damian is young.
Right.
He don't have that skill yet.
Right.
So I would have felt cheated if they would have made it even close and Batman had won, much less if Damian had won. And they didn't do that at all. Batman beat that ass with no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I was saying the same thing. Like, I'm like, again, this another scene that made it end really, really, really super strong for me. You know, when he's beating the snot, I mean, fucking hitting him with knees and throwing him into the wall and shit. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then again, I'm like, maybe Batman doesn't break this conditioning. You know, maybe he kills Damian. I mean, and like, it had me thinking that way. Because through this movie, it's very reminiscent of Injustice, Tom Taylor's Injustice run. Because, like, don't get attached to anybody because they may not fucking make it through this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will say go ahead.
Well, no, I love that. I love not – it's one of the reasons Injustice was one of the best things that DC had done in a long time because they were breaking rules. And they were not afraid to break the toys that are so beloved to fans.
Yeah. Now, I'll say that, whereas I totally agree with you, and of course it's all redone by there going to be a second Flashpoint, you know, that's the end of the movie. But besides that, one thing that actually took a little bit away of the movie from me, one of my negatives was when they were just killing people. They were offing people. I mean, you see Black Manta torn in half. You know, you see Sheena take a bullet dead through the skull, and then Damian comes and shuts her eyes for her. So, but as I watch it, because I kind of felt this way the first time, so I was like, let me really pay attention the second time to make sure none of the quote-unquote A characters got it. So they were able to kill a lot of high B, C, and D characters. Sure. Where I was like, okay, yeah, you really went for it, and it was gory and shit, but, like, you didn't touch some of them. You know, yeah. I mean, you didn't quite go
true, but then, like, I'm going to call it Darkseid's Horseman, but, like, when you see Wonder Woman and Corey and Hawkman, and they're, like, they're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not human anymore. And, right. To me, that was, like, worse. Like, you know, he had cyborged all of them.
Agreed. And two things that I want to say on that is, one, I thought those designs were so cool because you saw Cyborg Superman, who, not true to the comics but true to this anime movie, Darkseid had made in the earlier movies, right? Cyborg Superman.
Right.
So you saw they looked just like Cyborg Superman. So you saw that blueprint kind of built upon.
Yep.
So again, it tied in another one of the movies in a small way that many people probably didn't even pick up. But again, and I ask you, because maybe I'm coming off this a little bit wrong. I love a lot of DC. You're a little bit more of a DC guy than I am. But would you call Wonder Woman, obviously, but would you call Martian Manhunter, Hawkman, Stargirl, and who was the fourth? There was a fourth one because Wonder Woman made five. Mera. Would you call them A-list characters? Because I think I call them B-list characters.
I would call Manhunter A-list. Okay. He's at the bottom of the A-list, of course.
Okay.
Hawkman, he may not be A-list, but he's definitely high B.
Yeah, I put him at B.
But you know, Mera. you hadn't seen them the whole movie.
Right.
And then when you do see them, I mean, it still resonated. You know what I mean? Right. But no, I agree. I don't know. It wasn't shock value-ish either. You know what I mean? It wasn't. They definitely played a role. And then I love how, you know, Wonder Woman kind of comes out of it with the lasso when Constantine puts the lasso on her and like brings her back. I'm like, oh, that is fucking, that needs to be like, that's big time movie theatrical shit right there. Like that, I'd love to have seen that on screen. That was a good movie.
And this was the first time, you know, I've read a little bit of Hellblazer. It's a series that I really wanted to get into more. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense I didn't get to it, like I didn't like it, just I haven't sat down and got into it.
Yeah, I'm saying.
But this is the first time between the show, other Constantine and Justice League Dark movies and comic books that I was like, man, Constantine looks like a badass. You know, when he was going through and he's he's doing all these spells, boom, 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 and knocking out all these different para dunes and all this stuff. And then he caused a lasso to wrap up Wonder Woman, you know, like you're talking about, snaps her eye, all that stuff. I was like, man, Constantine really showed out in this movie for the first time.
Yeah.
And then right after that, or right before that, I love the Wonder Woman Etrigan battle. Like, that was awesome, too. Yeah. And she finally gets, it's so close. He does some great martial arts where he like hits her hand to get her to drop the sword, you know, all that stuff. So it's real authentic martial arts stuff in it. They're really close. She bests him right at the end. And then he rhymes again on the way out. Like, yo, this was fun as he's falling.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that was an awesome
fight. And I've never been like an Etrigan fan either. Yeah. And like, it kind of made me a fucking fan. And I'll admit, the beginning when you meet him, you know, because some people were talking about like King Shark, Etrigan, even Harley. And actually, I kind of liked Harley's.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that. You know, I'm not a big Harley really like fan. But I thought she was perfect for what I think she should be. Like, she should be a support character. I don't see her as a full-on A-lister like a lot of people do. But right. Where they put her in this movie and them, and even King Shark, you know, I thought it was perfect. Like, perfect placement, perfect roles for them.
Totally agree. I thought Harley was awesome. She was the right mix of a badass but not crazy over the top.
Right.
Funny as hell. Kind of sexy in certain parts, you know, obviously for a cartoon.
Sure.
King Shark I thought was great. And then – King Shark is a shark, which I'm kind of like, all right, is that an I Am Groot kind of ripoff? But they did it so perfectly, the timing and everything, that I really enjoyed it. And then
they come to find out he can talk at the end.
Yeah. And Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, who is the first time I ever thought he was a halfway decent character with this movie.
Yeah.
He was a badass. So he's throwing boomerangs at people's heads, and he's funny as shit. And he goes, are you serious? Like, you could talk this whole time? Like, that was great.
Yeah.
It did lead to a question. Is Constantine bisexual? Because he dated King Shark?
I don't know.
I didn't understand that part.
Yeah. He definitely must be bi, because there was and Jason mentioned this in the chat. Best moment for him was when the Suicide Squad and the rest of the team thinks that John slept with Harley Quinn, and he's nonchalant about how she's really not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, I thought that was pretty cool too.
He's like, no, it's, I'm with King Shark. I was with King Shark. And I'm like, oh, like,
yeah.
All right. I just.
So this is how I've envisioned it at first. I was like, so is King Shark a chick? I guess it could be. And then I'm like, wait a minute. It'd be Queen Shark then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And King Shark, and probably. Would it be topless, even though she's a shark? You would still have something.
I guess.
And would it sound like a dude that, or a chick that's on like 2,000 milligrams of testosterone or something? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't come off across as feminine at all.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, who is my Constantine guru, said basically is Deadpool's far sexual.
That's exactly how it came across to me.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm good with that. Like, I think it's funny.
I'm cool with it. Yeah.
Very cool with it.
Yeah. It kind of caught me by surprise. I think for me, the biggest overarching thing of this, because we could go scene by scene and all that, you know. Sure. But for me, the biggest thing is, I guess it's two parts. There's a lot of people, like you said, kind of complaining, like, oh, this isn't how I'm used to seeing these characters and stuff. Okay, cool. To me, this is the first real time we've seen an end of the human, you know, universe possibility. The first time that the Justice League looks at each other and says, we're not going to win this.
Right.
You know, Batman's gone. He's part of them. Wonder Woman's gone. She's part of them. Superman has liquid kryptonite, which I thought was so cool.
So cool.
I've never seen that before.
Right.
And so he's got no powers left, you know? And there's a couple times, Wonder Woman even said at one point, you've got no real warriors. Right. And so I was like, who's to say this isn't how they would react? They're still being heroic, doing the best thing they can, but you know, it's hard for me to believe Superman, even these odds would be like, duh, 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 I'm super, you know, it's a little bit more realistic how I think someone would act.
Yeah, exactly.
So for me, I was totally cool with that. And then the other big overarching thing for me was just the sheer horror aspect of this movie. People are getting ripped in half, boomerangs to the head, people get shot through the head, Batman steps Damien through the leg with the sword. You hear heroes screaming in horror. Cyborg is just completely fucked. Yeah. You know, you've got Raven who's got Trigon in her head, and she's trying her best to hold him back, and that's fucking her whole life up. Constantine walked away while his girl gets eaten, you know, and ripped to shreds.
Right.
And just so on and so forth. It was a really, really, really dark movie. And I thought it was just executed so perfectly.
It, you know, and it, what's funny is that, again, you know, especially like the Cyborg scene, like it looked, that scene in this movie looked exactly like the scene in Justice League, or no, was it BVS?
It was BVS where they see the little clip from Luthor.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, people really shit on the dark tone of the Snyderverse, if you want to call it that. And you know, it's like these movies really did well with the dark tone, and I think his, if his vision could have been played out, would have been fantastic. And I think this proves that, because there's so many elements of this that he was wanting to do with the nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
And it's, again, a realistic take on, you know, because even you and I had said this when we seen, I remember the trailer, and, you know, when Batman's hanging up in the cave and Superman comes down and Batman's scared. And we're like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. Batman would have never been scared. You know, he's not scared of shit. Well, when you look at it, you know, he's been fighting this war with this god. And it's like, maybe he would have been.
Yeah.
And anybody, the baddest motherfucker around would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie's a great testament of what could have been on the live action screen.
Yeah, and, no, I agree. And to say one more thing on my horror aspect, just because, solely because I didn't want to miss this, because I thought it was hilarious. When Darkseid goes to zap Batman, because Batman flips back and he throws the sword into Darkseid's eye, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And Damien steps in the way, just gets fucking fried. And I'm looking at them whole Damien, this crispy little fucker, looking kind of like an alien. He's got welts. I thought that shit was so funny. And I was a little pissed off when Raven brought him back. Like, I kind of was like, no, just leave him crispy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He looked like the English patient. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's awesome. You know, I love that part of it.
Yeah, so, I was a little upset too, because I was like, "Oh man, is she gonna bring him fucking back?"
Yeah. And then she turns white, you know. And it's like,
and they had made Mitch. They had kind of foreshadowed that earlier when they said that she couldn't heal anymore.
Yeah,
remember? Yeah. And
yep.
Now, you know, with Trigon being out of her, I guess. Which, and I want to say that too. Like, I thought that was really smart as well. Like releasing Trigon.
Oh, yeah. And then they capture him. He goes into Superman.
Yeah.
They capture him. And yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah. I thought people are going to hate this. I thought this movie tied 15 or 16 movies up better than Endgame tied up 18 or 19 Marvel movies. Not saying it's a better movie. Don't get me wrong. Because it's talking animated versus live action. So it's nowhere comparing apples to apples.
Right.
But this movie did not leave me walking away with the same questions of that doesn't seem like it works like Endgame did. I thought this movie was very intelligent and tied in very small things that you didn't see coming. Who would have thought Trigon would have played a role in this back when you're watching the Teen Titans animated movie and stuff. You're like, yeah, whatever. Raven has to deal with him. Okay, cool.
Right.
He ends up being a huge part.
Right.
You know?
He was kind of a, you know, reluctant hero. Like, he kind of, he helped save him. I mean, if it wasn't for Trigon, you know, Apocalypse would have steamrolled him. you know, or Darkseid would have steamrolled him.
Yeah, or you would have had to sacrifice Superman, which is what Batman wanted to do. Or no, Cyborg wanted to do.
Cyborg wanted to do.
He said, we gotta sacrifice him. And Batman's like, no. And then Constantine, in a scene I absolutely love, goes, hold on, I'm coming up with something. Then he points to Batman and goes, still pissed at you, and then releases Trigon to fight Darkseid. I was like, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah, Constantine for me was far and away the MVP.
He stole the movie.
He did.
And
it's just a Justice League Dark movie, so right. You kind of expected that in a way.
Yeah, I agree, but the last Justice League Dark movie, which I also really, really liked, I still think Constantine took a backseat to Batman.
He did.
And like I said, this is the first time I saw Constantine and said, wow, I see why he's so well-respected. People bring him, you know, want him right. As a part of their team and this and that. There was a whole lot of smaller characters that this, like I said earlier, this is the first time I saw them as badasses. Captain Boomerang, King Shark, Etrigan, all those guys, I'm just like, all right, you know, whatever, cool, they're part of the team.
Right.
They were all awesome. Harley was awesome. And then Constantine stepped up and was, like you said, the MVP to me. To me, and again, I'm not trying to lead you one way or another, but as we talk about this, doesn't it feel like it's a little bit better than the initial rating you gave it?
Yeah.
So I ask you,
go ahead.
What's your complaints? Just go right through your negatives. And I'll give you mine because I have a few.
For me, it was the first I really need to watch it again. For me, I'll tell you, I watched it as soon as I could, which it was in the morning. I got off work. I came home, had my coffee. I was like, I'm going to watch Justice League Dark. And the first 25, 30 minutes, I thought the pacing was weird. And, okay. And you know, it's like it started like, oh, shit. And then it kind of, you know, when they're getting the team together, so to speak, with, you know, getting Constantine back in the game with you know, mm-hmm. Superman shows up and all that, I just felt like it drug. I felt like the pacing was weird. Now I've seen the reviews and everybody like they love the pacing of it.
Yeah, me too.
It's fine. At first I didn't like King Shark. I didn't like Etrigan. Again, it built up toward the end, and I told you, I was like, man, that last half hour is fucking strong. And I see, you know, I mean, they're telling a story, man. So, you know, you can't have all this action and suspense and all this shit all the way through the movie. It has to have a rising action. And they did that. So if I went back and watched it, I might have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. Still, like, I just, like, Raven and some of the Titans, which I guess really was only Raven and Damian. It was kind of. Some of the voice acting was weak, even for Superman, you know, which he's supposed to be this. He has no abilities. So right. Basically he's just kind of like a symbol, a figurehead, just doing the right thing kind of guy. And, you know, his shit was kind of weak to me. I loved all the details. I loved all the Easter eggs. I loved all the details. I thought that was great. It just, I don't know, I guess there's that middle part somewhere that kind of lost me, and then in the end it started getting me back. Okay. But I think I gave it a 7.5.
I'd have to look. I think you gave it a 7 flat, I think. Did I?
Okay.
I think so.
I would probably definitely go, not as high as you did, but I would probably definitely go 8. Mm-hmm. Easy, because I had been thinking about it, and it's another sign of a good movie, right?
Yep.
Like, even when you walk away, you're still thinking about it, and I'm thinking about like that again, and with, you know, Snyder's vision for his movies, and how I thought, oh my god, Darkseid kills Lois, Superman gets overcome with the fucking anti-life equation, and then, you know, Batman's got to build this army to fight this god. Man, that sounds fucking amazing. Well, this was it, you know, with some differences.
You get the death of Lois.
Yeah, yeah. Lois oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she sends the message to him. Yeah.
Yep.
And then the end, like, again, the ending was super strong for me. You know, where he's like, you know what you got to do. You know, when he's talking to Flash.
Yeah.
And Flash is very apprehensive because of what happened last time. But he's like,
I probably
got now. You know, which is really bleak. You know, and Superman and Wonder Woman and all these characters, they're always so, you know, hope. And like you said, they were all like, man, we may not win this. And then when they do win it, it's still kind of like a loss.
Yeah. They said that we lost 31% of the Earth's core, and the Earth was spinning off its axis. And they said, you know, 1 degree, one way or the other, and we either freeze to death or everyone burns up. And Batman says, my best estimate is we lose 1 billion people before we can get this back under control. It's like, you still lost, you know?
And that's even when, in a win, you lost, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when Constantine goes over to Flash. He's like, you know what you have to do? And Flash is like, I promised Iris, man, I would not do this again. Now, I will say, one thing that threw me off, it's small in that moment, though, was how the Flash get so muscular again all of a sudden. All of a sudden, he was built again. I was kind of like, how'd that happen?
It would have been cool. Again, me and you do this all the time, but like Raven could have went over and, you know, he'd been like, I'm too weak to do this again. And then Raven comes over and fucking heals him and he's jacked again. You know what I mean? It just something like that small explains how,
Casey said he probably ate 15,000 hamburgers. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
In like 2 seconds too. So we didn't see it. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks. Casey.
Right. Probably with a couple testosterone injections.
Oh yeah. Super metabolism. Yeah. Sped him right.
Where was Aquaman? Cause he was a big part in the earlier stuff. The Atlantis War, Throne of Atlantis.
Didn't he die? I thought he died in the beginning. I thought it showed him dying in the beginning.
Did it? I may have missed it. Maybe he did.
I think he did.
I must have missed it.
Yeah, because it was part of Superman and them's plan.
Okay.
And then when the Parademons showed up, who's basically you're fucked.
How awesome was it when he dumped fucking all the lava on Jon Stewart?
Oh man,
dude. And Jon Stewart's just sitting there like fucking bones.
And that's another thing. You're like, the Green Lanterns were kind of, you know, put in the background a little bit, which. It worked. It worked. Yep. I'm not saying it's negative at all, but like when John's crawling, you know, and it's like he's saying the oath, and I'm like, oh shit, you know, it's about to be some shit. Oh no, it ain't. I mean, again, I ain't gonna say John's A-list, but you know, he's a very recognizable Green Lantern, and like dead. All the Green Lanterns fucking dead.
What about when in the same scene when Darkseid just fucking snaps Kilowog's neck?
Oh God.
he tore the Green Lanterns apart. He turns and he shoots the Omega beams through someone's head. I don't remember which Green Lantern's head it is.
And then
grabs Etrigan, snaps his neck, starts talking to Batman, and he's like, oh, transport like 15% of the Earth's lava over here too. It just dumps the shit on Jon Stewart and calls it a day. I was like, wow.
I love the violence. I mean, and that is one thing that we get that we will never probably get in the you know, the theatrical releases is just the live action, I should say, is just that level of violence where people are getting ripped apart and, you know, like you said, Theta Beam or Omega Beams going through people's fucking heads and shit.
I love DC Animated's commitment to it. At some point, I can't tell you which movie it was, but at some point they decided we're going to start making hard R animated movies.
Yeah, and they just
went for it.
Yeah.
They start their cussing. In the Constantine movie, there's some weird sex stuff with like humans and demons and weird shit like that. There's violence galore. Like, I love all that shit.
Love
like, comics aren't just for kids. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and so for us to see someone be like, you know, if I saw Darkseid coming and I'm a hero, I'm not going to go like, oh, gosh, it's Darkseid. I'm going to be like, what the fuck are we going to do now? You know what I mean?
And
so it just feels more authentic, man.
And that's for sure.
I will say, I'm interested to see when you watch it the second time if you had the same issue with the pacing, because I thought you had the fight scene in the bar, so you had action right off the bat. You get the reveal of the liquid kryptonite.
Oh, yeah, you know,
so
yeah.
There was a lot of stuff where I was kind of like, ooh, this has got me hanging on. So you may still walk away and say the same thing.
Honestly, man, it's, you know, like, you got to be in moods.
Yep.
And not to say that I'm not ever in a mood to watch stuff like this, but and this is how I look at animated films, all animated films. I don't give a shit if it's fucking Frozen, which I've never seen, but, you know, they say it's good. I don't know. But, like, Moana. What's that?
I like Moana.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go.
Just catchy as fuck.
Now, I think they're great. Don't get me wrong, but I still – like, okay, I think we had this conversation. You may have been on the panel that day with the Blazing Fender Assembles when people talk about Kevin Conroy as the best Batman. Mm. And I'm like, no, he's the best Batman voice, but he's never been in live action. Well, he was in the Arrowverse show. He's not the best Batman. He's the best Batman voice. He's a fucking voice actor. So all the animated movies, like if I'm rating movies, they're on a scale. This movie compared to any live action movie may not rate for me because I always rate.
It's got to be separate.
It's got to be separate. I keep them separate. You know, I just, that's the way I am about it. So I go back and watch it. I guarantee you. You know, and I really wasn't thinking about wrapping all these animated movies up because some of them I've only seen once and it's been a long time ago. So I didn't get those Easter eggs of wrapping that loose end up. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's something that I would definitely, when I went back on the second watch, would be looking for that kind of stuff. So I definitely need to see it again for sure. So with the ending, with them resetting everything, so they're surely going to do animated movies because they're so fucking good.
For sure. They've already announced a couple that are coming, including Batman Long Halloween, which if done right, this will be an X-rated show because I'm going to masturbate on a screen. Oh my God, please. If you do that right, and if you make the animation look like Tim Sale's art, with the long ears and the really round musculature, I am going to be beyond fucking excited.
Right.
So they just haven't announced if they're going to do another animated universe again, or if they're going to just do kind of one shot stories like they used to do before, one or two shot stories. I kind of hope they do both like they have been, cause it's worked so well, but we'll have to see. Really both good. Of the movies or the three movies announced right now are, all Superman. Superman
Man of Tomorrow is one of them.
Yeah, and then Batman Long Halloween's been announced. I feel like there was one more, but I couldn't.
Okay. It sucks because I feel like, that's a great way to end it. The way they ended this movie is because they don't ever have to do another one, and that's the ending. Or you have a second Flashpoint, which resets everything, and you know what I mean? So,
and I will say, because I'm totally with you, maybe you wait a couple of years, start that up. So, I don't know. Because I will say, right now, I don't really give much of a fuck about Marvel movies after Endgame happened. Like, I'm kind of like, maybe it should have gone away for a little bit. I don't know. Now, when some of the ones I'm kind of looking forward to come out, I may change my tune. But I kind of felt like Marvel's movies should have ended for a little bit, at least, with Endgame. Don't ever do that because they make $1 billion a piece. But
absolutely.
But I kind of think I'm in favor of this, at least for now. Give me 2 or 3 years of just one-shot stories, and then all of a sudden here comes Flashpoint Paradox 2 or whatever. And I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Jason makes a comment and says that someone said laughs in Dr. Manhattan as Flash ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could bring in the Watchmen, you know what I mean? Like they kind of did in the comics, and that would be interesting. Well, have they really brought the Watchmen into the comics? I guess they have, but it's been pretty convoluted, so maybe the movie can do it better.
At least the Watchmen TV show was awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was.
It was amazing.
Now, I'm sad that they're not – I mean, there's no season two.
No, he has softened a little bit on that and said, maybe I would be interested in doing season two, but if I do, it's going to be a completely different set of characters. All right, let's try that.
Whatever. Know? I mean, yeah. He knocked it out of the park with that season one, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. I'll watch it.
You know? Agreed. So one other thing I want to – it's the one thing I wrote down that I didn't get to point out. It just tied into the horror aspect. This part was so crazy to me. What about when Raven went to commit suicide? When she took that shard of metal and goes to her neck, and I think it was Superman, you know, as Clark Kent, because he's got no powers anymore, kind of grabs her hands and forces her to stop so he still can be heroic when he doesn't have powers. But I was like, wow, that's a hell of a thing to show in an animated movie. I
mean, yes, it's a good point.
Yeah. I said, whoa, that kind of opened my eyes up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, with Clark, I mean, they did that as, you know, as well as they could. Like, yep. when you take your guy, I mean, Superman's the guy, and you neuter him like they did.
Yeah.
Which they kind of had to, right?
What a great way to do it, too, with liquid kryptonite. I thought that was so awesome. Like,
so awesome. You know, that's the thing. That's the thing about what some of the, what they did in this movie is it's things we haven't seen before, even in comic books.
Yep. Paradooms, liquid kryptonite. Like, I think there was one or two other things, but there were several things where
Now, Batman sitting on the Mobius chair. That's we've seen that. That was in Dark Side War.
Yep.
You know, they took some things, and you know, they took some liberty with some things, but they sure. It was a very, you said it earlier, it's a very, very smart movie.
It is.
And honestly, I think that's kind of what, you know, the reason I need to go back and watch it again, because I think I missed a lot of it just because, well, you know, I went into it.
Yeah. And what pisses me off is that Batman versus Superman, I'm going to go back to this every time until everybody in the world admits this was a good movie, especially the director's cut of it. Okay, the editor was a fucking idiot. The theatrical version was good but not great. But the director's cut is such an incredibly smart movie.
Yes.
And so many people miss it. And like, well, that movie kind of sucked. It wasn't dumb. What's that Martha shit? I'm like, dude, you just missed 99% of this movie. Like, and I think this movie had kind of that same level of intelligence where you have to read between the lines. There's verbal wordplay. Right. They're pulling in small things that you're like, ooh, I never thought that would. Or that I'm not even going to pick up till the third, fourth, or fifth watch. I'm watching it again with a buddy tonight who wants to come over and watch it. We will social distance. and I bet you I pick up even more small Easter eggs that I didn't get the first two times I watched it. And that's the sign of a really good movie. I mean, fuck, this could be my third watch in 4 days, and I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, that says a lot, man.
Yeah.
That says a lot when you've got live-action movies that you pay $20 to see, and you watch them, and you're like, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I've never watched Aquaman a second time. I've never watched Shazam a second time. You know, it's like
they were so – So apparently there was, and I was just seeing this in some of the comments online somewhere on a review. They're on the DVD release. There's either extended scenes or deleted scenes that were cut. Mm. And you know what? You were asking about Aquaman, and I want to say now that I'm thinking about it that there was a scene, either a cut scene or extended scene with Aquaman that some people were saying they really wish they would have left it in the movie.
What if they take his trident, spin it, and then shove it up his ass? Like, oh my gosh, dude.
That
like,
would be awesome.
It'll take that movie to a perfect 10 because I'll just have to forgive my few flaws.
Yeah, Dark Side does it. You know, I kind of wish we would have seen some of, you know, this is – you'd have added a – another element to an already huge cast, and they did a great job with everybody that they put in that movie,
man.
But like, I would like to see maybe like Mr. Miracle, Fights, the Furies, you know, with Granny Goodman, and you know what I mean? That would have been really cool to have seen some of them.
I'd like to see a Jack Kirby's New Gods offshoot type movie.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
They're such an interesting and different group of, you know, characters. Jason put with someone beating Amber Heard with a fish. In light of new evidence, I think Amber Heard would be beating someone with a fish, right? I think she's the actual domestic abuser.
Yeah.
So,
well, just throwing it out there since this is on the internet, Amber Heard can beat me with ever. I don't give a shit. She beat me with a bat. She beat me with barbed wire. I don't care. Like, fucking, I think Amber Heard's a fucking goddess. So,
yeah.
She's crazy as fuck.
She can't
act. No. She can't.
But she's sexy. So
sexy. So sexy.
If I had to rate my couple negatives as to why I give this an 8.8, and I may want to give it a 9, but I think, you know, like I said, I thought you missed a couple opportunities, like bringing back Damien. Leave his ass crispy. You know what I mean? Absolutely. This has already been a horror, dark-ass movie.
Yes.
Keep his ass burnt up. Looking like the English Patient on the ground. I loved it. I loved it. So I thought they missed a couple small opportunities to take this into just absolute classic range. The voice acting of Damien was very suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And Ravens was not very good either.
Nope.
Everyone else they nailed. And this is a personal thing to me, but I think Jason's going to agree with me. Not enough Swamp Thing. He was amazing in his scene. Him and Constantine went at it, like, verbally, which was great.
Yeah.
And you saw the power of Swamp Thing.
Yes.
But especially in a Justice League Dark movie, when we don't get to see Swamp Thing a whole lot anyways, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing Swamp Thing, and I didn't get much of it, and that bothered me because I love him so much as a character. That's my own personal thing. I love Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I mean, like, I loved how they took a huge cast of characters and they kind of gave everybody their moment. Albeit it's short.
Yeah.
I mean, King Shark got a moment, Boomerang got a moment, Etrigan got a moment, Swamp Thing got a moment. And it was, again, like, you see Swamp Thing like God level power. Like,
which is what he is.
Yeah, and he is. Yeah, he is. What I didn't really like about that is Constantine had to convince Swamp Thing to get involved.
Yeah, that made him almost a little bit of like a villain. A little bit.
Yeah.
Where he's like, humanity got what they deserved. I'm kind of like, I don't know.
It's, man. You know, he's – Darkseid's going to terraform the fucking green, dude. You better get involved. You know what I mean? So Debo did not like Tony Todd's voice acting.
Oh, it was like my favorite part.
Dude, Sam loved it, Debo. He loved it. Oh, my God. That's fucking funny.
I will say the Lois and Harley thing was a little off.
It's a good point.
I didn't think Lois could whoop Harley. The only thing that made it somewhat okay with me was that Harley tried to bring in those kind of like taser fists. So all Lois had to do was hit her with that, and it shocked her.
Yeah.
But I don't think Lois hangs with Harley one-on-one. That part I did kind of be like,
you're right. It was campy. It was kind of like, yeah, man, come on, dude. Really? Lois is she's brilliant, and she's a dog with a bone. That's her superpower.
Yeah.
Kind of like in BVS, you know what I mean? Where she kind of figures it out, you know? But when they go making Lois, you know, fight, you know, people that fight all the time, it's like, come on. No. I mean, if you're Batman's woman, that's one thing. You might be able to throw down. But Clark, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I did not love that. It didn't stand out to me as somewhere I was like, this sucks.
Right.
But I definitely didn't feel like that was very earned. And I don't like when every character can fight. That's one of the things I hate about the new Batman stuff, the comics, is because Alfred's every bit as good a fucking fighter as Batman. And I'm like, fuck that shit. Right. Not everybody has to be able to fight.
Right.
So I agree with Debo on that part. Me and him, although we're normally eye to eye, I couldn't disagree more on Tony Todd's voice, man. I love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, Damian's was the weakest for me.
Yeah.
And it was, wasn't even decent. It was just fucking bad.
It wasn't good.
Wasn't good at all. I don't know who the fuck did that, but
then Ravens. I didn't think Ravens was very good either.
Yeah. So if you had other than the new gods you just said, Kirby's New Gods animated movie, if DC or Warner Brothers called you up today and said, "All right, Sam, what animated movie other than Long Halloween? Because we're already doing that. What would you want to see?"
I think a New Gods movie for sure would be right there. I think that'd be awesome. I think a Watchmen movie, because you could do things in the animated movies that you can't really necessarily do in live action movies. And I think the Watchmen plays really well into that. Kind of that hard R. Personally, I'd love a Swamp Thing movie. Give me some of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, or definitely give me that Swamp Thing Animal Man, the Green and the Red War that Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire kind of co-wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fucking real good.
And those are two characters that I don't know how well they'll translate to live action, because you can't show their full power. Swamp Thing, that TV show, they did an awesome job, but he's just becoming Swamp Thing, so you don't see all these godlike powers. You just get little glimpses of it. I don't know how they can pull out full prime power Swamp Thing.
Sure.
I just don't know. And then Animal Man, same thing. He's morphing all these different animals to get these powers and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great animated movie.
Would be. Visually, it'd be fucking – it'd be awesome to watch either way.
And it's got that same horror-type feel to it.
I would really like to see – because you were talking earlier about the Long Halloween movie, about the animation, making it look like Tim Sale. That is one of the kind of gripes that I've seen online is, all these DC animated movies look like the same animation, which they do that for a reason, because it's the same universe, right?
Right.
But, you know, I really do I take that back. I was about to misspeak. I do not watch anime, but I have seen some videos of anime, and man, some of the animation is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we can't, like, video games. I know you're not a video game guy, but like Debo and Jason, some of the guys in the chat are. Man, some of these trailers, like this, the Assassin's Creed Valhalla trailer.
Yeah, I saw that. Holy
fuck.
Yeah.
Give me an animated movie that looks like that.
But how much would that cost?
I don't know. I don't care. I mean, it much more than Endgame did. I mean, now granted, it's not going to make $1 billion.
Yeah, it's not going to make billion. You're not even going to the theaters.
But I mean, it's a video game trailer, so I don't know. I mean, it's got to be cost effective for them to do. I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to give me a 2 hour. Give me a fucking 50 minute animated movie with that level of animation.
Yeah.
And I think anybody would be in. I don't know if you ever seen Sex, Love, and Robots, the anthology on Netflix. Did you ever see that?
Incredible. Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, those guys are doing 15-minute movie shorts of this level of animation. Right. The one that sticks out the most to me is the brothers that were the werewolves in the military. Like, do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm like, motherfucker, I don't even know. I want backstory. One-hour movie of this animation, this type of action. It was fantastic. So I don't know if they do bring this animated universe back, if they'll have it, like, they'll go a different route with the animation. I don't know. But if I had to pick what movie they would do next, I would go – I'm going to go a little off book and go Wildstorm and bring in the Authority. And then maybe you could have a Justice League versus Authority type movie, to wrap it up with. But, like, you know, I'm a big Midnighter fan, and I love The Authority. So I
believe, maybe Constantine could fuck Midnighter, too.
What's that?
So maybe Constantine could fuck Midnighter, too.
No. There'd be no fucking Midnighter. Midnighter does the fucking, so Constantine
okay.
Don't have to open right. Up.
That's fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah. Look, hey, man, you get that demographic checked off, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, hey. Robots and Cats was the one that sticks with me.
That shit was good, too.
Was that on the anthology?
In the Love, Sex, yeah, Robots anthology, yeah. That was good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Constantine may be a pitcher, Jason, but not when Midnighter comes to town. Like I said, you're going to have to open up, man. If Midnighter wants it, it's taken. Sorry.
I got to address one thing. With the people complaining about the animation, I don't think that's a good complaint, man. Because number one, you said they're building an animated movie universe. That'd be like having Ben Affleck is Batman in a couple movies, and then someone else is Batman in a couple.
I agree.
And if you go to the other ones, Red Sun looked very different. Batman Ninja Turtles looked very different. Killing Joke, although the first 20 minutes was stupid as fuck. The art looked like Brian Bolland's art. You go to Dark Knight Returns, it looks very much like Frank Miller's art.
Yeah.
So with the offshoot movies, I thought they looked plenty different. I just thought this 16 or 15 movies,
right.
the continuity had to be there, so you have to make them look the same. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, you know how the fucking internet is, man. They're going to find something they don't like about it.
For sure.
That was definitely not it for me. I just... Again, like, I thought the animation was fine. I think it's always been fine in these movies. It's like Love, Sex, and Robots. It was, you know, that level of animation. You know, these video game trailers that they're pumping out. That level of animation is fucking phenomenal, and it looks like live action. Again, I don't know what goes into that shit. Obviously, it must be more than I think, because we haven't had a movie of that kind of quality. They kind of did it in the what's the RPG that everybody plays? World of Warcraft movie. You know, with the orcs and stuff. Those are all computer generated. You thought it looked terrible?
No, it looked good. It was a terrible movie.
Yeah, the movie wasn't good, but it looked phenomenal. And I'm like, you could do a movie like this, you know what I mean, and do a lot of stuff.
What about what was the one that Alita Battle Angel? That looked great too.
Looked fantastic. I really liked that movie, man.
I did too. I thought I was not gonna like it. I just kind of was like, I've got nothing else. Let me watch it. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I enjoyed it, and it's funny because like it's got I don't know if she's I don't think she's a video game. I guess she's like an anime character or some shit. But people fucking love, like, that chick has a following.
Oh, yeah.
And people are like, you know, they've signed petitions and everything to get a sequel. I forget, something was going on when that movie opened. It was weird. Yeah. And that was the reason that, like, it didn't do, like, what they expected it to do at the box office. But I thought it was a super solid movie. And the animation is just fucking amazing.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, I would definitely go see a sequel and be pretty pumped about it.
I'd probably go see it in the theater, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, man, we've been going about an hour and 10 minutes. So any final thoughts about this? Okay, let me see. So a lot of my viewers are maybe people that don't read comic books, which is weird. They dabble. They're not into it like us. And, you know, and some of my viewers are fucking, they're the better gurus than you and I are. So how would you sell this movie to somebody, that like, they like this kind of stuff, but they're not comic book readers. So what would you tell them?
I think it would be a little bit of a hard sell, because I really think you need to see most, if not all, of the other movies to appreciate. Same thing with Endgame. I would never tell someone, hey, just go pop in Endgame.
Right.
Exactly. So I do think you have an issue there. You got to put the time in to backstory. But I'd essentially say, if you want to watch an epic movie that ties in 6 years and 16 movies worth of stuff, if you want to see how Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, all these heroes would act in a real world, end of the world situation where they're up against it and it doesn't look like they're going to win, watch this movie. If you want to see comic book characters in a horror movie type of setting, watch this movie. And that's kind of what I was up. But I'll be honest, like, you probably need to watch these other 15.
Yeah, I would definitely say you've got to watch Flashpoint Paradox, one, two, and this one being three. Like, you need to watch them like that. You know what I mean? With this one being the culmination and maybe the best. Like, I loved part one. Like, with Darkseid fighting the Justice League. I mean, I just fucking, when he comes to Earth, I fucking loved it.
And that was a great comic, too. The Justice League Origin with Jim Lee doing it. That was a great comic.
Great comic.
Trade.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but, you know, you're right. It's you know, it's really hard to, you couldn't just jump into this. Now, I know some people just watch this because they're big Constantine fans. You know, that guy's got a pretty hefty following as well.
And he's a badass in this movie.
He is. He really is. I mean, like you said, at the end, when he's fucking putting up shields and teleporting and hitting motherfuckers with magic, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you get a very – I've never put him on par with Doctor Strange.
No.
I never have. And, you know, I was kind of like, them two going at it would be kind of nice now, you know?
It was the first time – because and Constantine puts the kind of the cuffs on himself because, you know, he really doesn't want to be a hero. He's kind of reluctant. He's been through all this shit, so he beats himself up a bit, you know, and all this stuff. And it was the first time I felt like, you know, kind of like Jet Li Unleashed, where they go click and took the collar off of Constantine and he just went at it and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Jason told me to watch Dangerous Habits, the story arc for Constantine. And I think I will definitely be doing that. There's some.
Yeah, I think I'll check that out as well. Because I mean, I've always liked Constantine. I just like, I liked the Keanu Reeves movie. I like
it. Yeah, me too.
I like that. Now, yeah, I definitely like the guy that plays him on the TV show better.
Matt Ryan.
But I really like Keanu Reeves' Constantine.
I
kind of like that Scottish accent. I like that. You know what I mean? Or English. I guess he's English, right? I like that. I think, you know, I think it's funny. I like hearing guys talk like that. So I like that guy on the TV show. I forget what his name is. I know Jason's.
It's Matt Ryan.
There you go. Matt Ryan.
It's when he's not playing quarterback for the Falcons.
Okay, he is Scottish. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, he is Scottish. It sounds Scottish to me, but I don't know. Yeah, when he's not playing for the fucking Falcons.
Yeah, he goes in Constantine.
But, yeah, guys, check it out. It's definitely worth the watch. I guess one of our viewers earlier, it was kind of like unfamiliar that DC had a – cohesive animated universe, you know.
I think a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah,
I don't think they marketed that very well.
No, they did not. No, for sure they did not. And like, unless you research this shit and read about it all the time, like we do, you may not know that. But yeah, so definitely go check this movie out. Make an opinion for yourself. Like Debo didn't like it. You know, he's like, man, I stopped watching it. Fuck it, I didn't like it. Yeah. I definitely think if you're have watched some of the movies before, you'll definitely enjoy this one. It's those four movies are definitely worth the watch. They're definitely worth the time investment to watch them. Start with that Flashpoint Paradox. That's where I would start. And then start with Justice League Apocalypse War. Is it
War
One?
It's War. It's just called War.
Yes, that's it.
And then you have Throne of Atlantis, and then this one, if you just don't kind of do the main Justice League stuff. If for some reason you don't want to watch all of it, you don't have to watch Flashpoint. That's just kind of what caused it. You could just do Justice League War, Throne of Atlantis, and then this.
But Flashpoint's really, really good.
It's really good. And you see Aquaman – like he's taken every steroid known to man. Aquaman's humongous. But you're in a fucking quarantine. Just go watch all 15 movies.
You got nothing else to do, guys. You got nothing else to fucking do.
Watch all that shit.
Watch all of it. I may go back. Now that you said that, I may do that. I may start with Flashpoint and go all the way back through and then get Dark on my third or my second watch.
We can post on the site. I've got the list of which the 15 or 16 movies are that tie into this, because like I said, they were interspersing other movies that weren't tied into this during this time. So I don't want people to be confused, but we can put up the list, because I have it, of what to watch and in what order.
Go ahead and give the list right now. We'll put it up on the page later, but what's the list?
Okay, hold on. Let me pull it. I got it right here. It is in this order: Justice League Paradox, the Flashpoint Paradox. You have Justice League War, Son of Batman, The Throne of Atlantis, Batman versus Robin, Batman Bad Blood, Justice League versus the Teen Titans, Justice League Dark One, Teen Titans The Judas Contract, Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, The Death of Superman, The Reign of the Supermen, Batman Hush, Wonder Woman Bloodlines, and then this Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So that's your list. But we could post that too.
Yeah, we'll post that for sure.
Fucking go for it. I own every one of the DC animated movies on Blu-ray that's ever been put out. It was one of the big things so I'm a splurge to get all these, because they're all great.
Yeah, they're all really good. And, yeah. I mean, like you said, one, there may not be one under a 7.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. And watch that shit. This was the longest one at 90 minutes. They're typically like 75 to 80 minutes.
Yeah. Not a huge time suck at all.
Yeah, you're in a quarantine, man. Go watch them.
Go watch them.
They'll take you 2 days.
Big Sam, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook and on Instagram, Anlun Guan Kung Fu, AUNLOONGWAN Kung Fu. Website is Kung Fu Lu, LOU, like Louie, kungfulu.com. Check it out. We do authentic five animal style Kung Fu: the tiger, the snake, the crane, the leopard, and the dragon. I also teach seven star praying mantis and Yang style Tai Chi, empty hand and weapons for everything.
So if you want to get ahead of those murder hornets that are coming this way, Big Sam could teach you that praying mantis style and fucking
that's right. That's right. I love praying mantis style. It's my favorite, actually.
And I, guys, am the Blazing Defender. I do a comic book show normally, since we haven't had any new comics, but we're getting them very, very, very soon. May 24th is going to be the first day. So next Wednesday is going to be the first day for a lot of publishers to start putting stuff on the shelves again. We'll be bringing that show back, and I'll be telling you what I think you would like, what you should buy, and what you should read. But I have been doing the Blazing Defender Assembles, which I'm just getting guys like Big Sam, TV's Casey, Dennis Robinson from the Botch Podcast, Tony P. Henderson from the Odd Podcast, which is really, really funny. It's his new show. It's been really, really good. I've enjoyed it. Getting these guys on here, and we've just been talking about this kind of stuff, about movies we like, TV shows, comic books, you name it. It's all nerd related. You guys would love it. So if you have not hit the bell, please hit the bell. You'll be notified every time I go live on Twitch. And if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, then you get one free Twitch subscription a year. I would really, really appreciate if you'd use that on me. So all you have to do is link your Prime and Twitch accounts together and you get a subscription for me. Would love, love, love if you used it on me. And thank you so much, Jason. Jason says, loving the Blazing Defender Assembles. No, you get one every month. So it's not a year thing. You get a subscription every month. So you would have to go in and do it every month. But again, I really appreciate it. It really helps me out. I know Jason's a subscriber. Thank you so much, Jason, for subscribing. So, yeah, and I'm going to have some more people on the Blazing Defender Assembles. I've had some people I had asked a while back when I thought about the idea for the show. They've hit me up like, hey, man, are we doing this show or what? So I've got to get them on the docket, and I will. Just been super busy these last couple weeks. But I'll have some free time coming up very, very soon. But guys, thanks again for watching. Love you guys. You're in the chat. I absolutely love it. Yes, and check out Debo's Great Superhero Debates on Facebook. This dude, he gets it all. He gets he actually put up a link to where you can watch Justice League Dark.
And so fast, man. So Debo is the Flash of that shit.
He is
so fast.
Anything pop culture related, MMA, sports, it's on there before you see it anywhere else. So go to Debo Facebook.
It's like the Amazon Prime of that shit. Like, like I think that I need something. It's in my hand before I even fucking order it. Like, that's Debo shit. Like, where can I see? And then he's already got links to that shit.
Yeah, like, I will see something, like, just scrolling online, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to tell Debo about it. He's already posted it to my Facebook page.
And linked us to
Jesus Christ, man. How did you get
it? Yeah.
So go to Facebook, Great Superhero Debates 2. Hit that subscribe button, and anytime he posts, you'll see it on your newsfeed. But with that, guys, thank you so much. Check out Justice League Dark. And for Big Sam and the Blazing Defender, we're out. Peace.